The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
I have to, having admonished the government in relation to blindly proposing to increase injury awards by 17%. It was due to go to a subcommittee of the cabinet yesterday and they did a U-turn. The National Competitiveness Council, various on this programme on Monday, we had the Insurance Reform Group in saying that this would only raise premiums, and I'm glad they've had a reflection on it and that they won't be going to put any motion to the Dáil. Another windfall for the Law Library has been averted. All right. Well, of course, planning is the biggest issue, as far as I'm concerned, in relation to the housing debate. We have three levels of problems. If you're trying to get a development to go ahead, and personally involved with the development of 400 houses in near Middleton in Water Rock in Cork, you have to get through the local authority. Then you've got to get through on board Planola. And then you may have to go through a judicial review. And if you speak to all the top developers, housing developers, they will tell you that their pipeline of getting projects shovel ready with infrastructure and planning has never been more difficult. And whether it's apartments, whether it's housing estates, we are literally laced with red tape. And of course, we're the only country in the world that has a combination of systems. Not only in Britain, you can't do third-party appeals, but we have a civil liability system so that if someone's not satisfied, they can go to the court. In Europe, they can't do that. It's not a common law system. It's actually a statute law system. So this has really affected our rollout of not only houses but infrastructure. So I'm delighted to welcome the Fine Gael Waterford TD, the Minister of State at the Custom House with responsibility for planning in the Department of Housing and Local Government, and he joins me in studio. You're welcome, Minister.
Thank you, Ivan.
Can I begin by kind of dissecting it through the different stages? So at local authority level, the type of problems I'm hearing about is a lot of the staff, the senior planning staff, were cannibalised when on board Planola increased their staff. People can't get pre-planning meetings. And then they're written out to for more and more information that could have been dealt with at a preliminary basis. The second problem with local authorities is you couldn't make it up, but over the last 10 years, in the middle of a housing crisis, they dezoned 40% of all land away from housing. And the Office of the Planning Regulator was very much in favour of that. And now, hey presto, we have a shortage of zoned land. What are your proposals at local authority level to facilitate 300,000 units?
So there's a few things in that, Ivan. So obviously we do have staffing challenges across a wide variety of areas in our economy. That's the challenge with full employment. But we have put a number of significant resources both in Town Commission Planola now, which has replaced on board Planola, and within the local authority system. We have a ministerial action plan. There's over 101 planning posts that were sanctioned by my department that 92 of them have been filled. We have graduate staff officer and planning positions that have been sanctioned, 102 of those, and now we're moving into phase three in terms of recruitment. The last data that I have is that there's about 10% vacancy across planning, and you're right in saying that some of those planners have gone into on Commission Planola, which has staffed up from about 200 positions to 300 positions now, and we are seeing the benefits of those, which I'd be happy to go through in terms of dealing with those cases in a speedier fashion. The large-scale residential developments, over 100 units now. There's a statutory time period of 16 weeks that are in place. From the start of this year, on Commission Planola has disposed of all LRDs within the statutory period.
Okay, so I hear what you're doing about staffing. So, county development plans and extra rezoning. My understanding is you and your colleague James Brown have written out to, further to the National Planning Framework, the NPF, asking them to zone more land. Tell us about that.
Yeah, so we passed the National Planning Framework within the Dáil and the Seanad in May, and out of that then essentially falls two things, the Regional Economic and Spatial Strategies and the Local Authority Development Plans. What we have said is essentially for the housing element of it only, we are bypassing the RESAs through the Regional Assemblies because we can't afford to wait. We understand understand how acute the housing challenge is, and we do need more zoned and serviced land right across the country. So we have written out to local authorities for them to start their variation process, and we will be writing out to them in the next number of days in relation to what their housing growth requirements are on a local authority basis.
You know, this is a critical issue, because if the site cost is leading to unaffordability, the more zoned land there is, the more, you know, in terms of supply of land versus demand for land, will be improved.
So there's been a significant body of work done within the department in relation to this. Both Minister Brown and I are on the same page in terms of the need for additional zoned land, and the department officials have been working extensively on...
So by the end of the year, could we see that, or when?
Yes, obviously the variation process is a matter for each local authority, but we have already asked them to start a variation plan, and they will have those housing growth requirements very, very shortly.
One of the other bugbears at local authority level is the Office of Planning Regulator has been very keen on density of 35 units per hectare, which means you've got to have some element of apartments and duplexes and so on. The truth is, outside of cities, these are not viable. Nobody wants to buy them. They want a three-bedroom semi-D, garden back in front to rear their children in. And there just is no demand for these. Builders have told you. What about some flexibility in rural Ireland as regards density?
So density is an issue, but we also do need to have compact development, transport-oriented development. But I hear what you're saying in relation to outside of the city, in terms of the flexibility to be able to vary that from the 35 to the hectare. What we have tried to do is, in everything that we have done over the last number of weeks and months, is try and address viability in terms of apartment construction. That's why we've introduced the legislation that's going through the Dáil and the Seanad in terms of extending the duration of planning, because we can talk about building houses and apartments, but unless we have them through the planning system, well, then we have nothing to talk about. And that's why we've introduced the changes this week, which will be put into legislation next week, to allow for any existing apartment developments that may be unviable because they could have three-bed apartments, for example, to be able to alter the plan, and that's very positive, that is something I support.
But just in simple terms, how can you explain this to me? So if you talk to Hines, right? So Hines would have developed Liffey Valley Shopping Centre. And beside that, they had a site, an adjoining site, which they wanted to build 1,400 houses on it. Dublin South County Council decided to dezone it, not for housing. In the middle of a housing crisis, and, you know, they've lobbied to try and get it changed and so on. Like, that is just insane, is it not?
So, look, I can't go into any individual cases, as you'll appreciate, Ivan. It wouldn't be appropriate given my role. And zoning is a matter for our local authority members and local councils. But what I have said clearly and what I have said there, we will be asking local authorities to zone significant additional zoned land across the country, because we do understand that we have a shortage in that respect. And if you have more zoned land, it will introduce a level of competition into the market, which should assist. We know that there's simply not sufficient amount of zoned land, particularly in our commuter belts and our cities.
Now, you're from Waterford, and with the Greens in the last government, they wanted an end to one-off rural houses. What is your policy on that? Because, you know, I can see in terms of services, be it street lighting and pavements and so on, it's problematic on local authorities. They want, you know, less ribbon development. Mm. What is official policy on one-off rural housing, or, you know, farmers' sons and daughters and so on?
Well, look, this is a really important area. There's about 5,000 to 6,000 one-off houses that are built every year. That's been consistent over a period of time. So, you know, if I was seeing a reduction in the numbers that were being built every year, I would say that a policy change has resulted in people finding it harder. But what I want to do in reviewing the rural planning guidelines is to make sure that they are consistent with the programme for government, which is to support one-off housing. I think that was an important piece that was put into the programme for government, and we have to ensure that we have the flexibility in there. I'm from Waterford City.
Is it a yes to one-off housing or a
no? Well, like, It can't be a free for all, Ivan, as you'll appreciate. Yeah. I'm from the middle. I'm from Waterford City. I don't believe that I should be able to go out and buy a greenfield site out in mid Waterford and build a house out there. But if somebody is from a smaller settlement and they have land in the surrounding area, the ability and the flexibility for them to be able to build.
So what change are you going to make?
So look, as you'll appreciate, I have to review those with my department officials. There's been a significant body of work that has been done in bringing forward all of the changes over the last number of weeks and months. And next on my agenda in the autumn will be reviewing these rural planning guidelines.
Let's talk about Bord Pleanála. Who is Bord Pleanála accountable to? Insofar as you take something like the Dundrum former shopping centre. So it's a brownfield site. There was an application for 550 units. Again, ideally, a brownfield site like that would be suitable for development. Huge demand for housing. It's right close to the Lewis line. Mm. And Bord Pleanála just refuse it. I mean, who are they accountable to? It's like in many cases, I could point to the Docklands in Cork. They recently refused another 500 there. Do they know there's a housing crisis? And what difference will Paul Reid make?
So, we have established now on Commission Pleanála to replace on Bord Pleanála, and it's not just a name change. It is changing the governance structure around on Bord Pleanála as it was. I mentioned earlier in the programme, we've managed to staff up from 200 to 300 in terms of staffing. You can never ensure a positive decision in terms of any given planning application. But what we are seeking to do and what we are doing is to try and introduce planning timeline certainties. So if you're a developer and you go into the planning system, that you can have a reasonable a decision within a reasonable amount of time. And I think that's not too much to expect. And on the LRDs, as I said, all of those have been disposed of this year in 2025 within 16 weeks. In fact, the average is actually 11 weeks. So we are seeing significant movement in terms of reducing the backlog from 3,700 down to 1,300 cases on hand. Very significant movement. And I do think that Paul Reid and Peter Mullen and the whole team at Commission Pleanála, I'm looking forward to meeting them all next week. Both Minister Brown and I are visiting.
Now, my biggest bugbear of all is the judicial review process. I cannot understand how every significant commercial and residential development has now ended up in the Four Courts. This doesn't happen in any other country. And the system is very simple. I've got to find one bat, one slug, one fauna, one flora, and if I win the case on that, I'll get an award of costs, and it has made the legal profession rich. It has held up cases for 3 or 4 years, and the number of cases for judicial reviews has doubled. So let's just take a couple of them, right? So we'll take a sanitary services project, Clonshock. This is to provide sanitary services on the north side of Dublin for up to 400,000 houses. It's a state-owned project, state money, Irish Water. And my understanding is that it's actually been stuck because a judicial review said the consultation between the EPA and Bord Pleanála was such it needed to be looked at. And it's been frozen at that for 2 years. This is beyond urgent. I mean, there's no country in the world would tolerate this nonsense.
So we do, I don't want to see planning decisions being decided by the court. We have a local authority system and we have on Commission Pleanála. That is where our planning decisions should be made. You did point out earlier in the programme that we have a common law system in Ireland. But importantly, and it's not, we know the issues that are there. That's why in the planning bill last year that was passed last October, there are significant changes that are going to be introduced this year. It's my responsibility now as minister to implement that planning bill over the course of this year. But there's important changes. We're removing the leave stage. That was essentially, it's an 8-week fishing exercise where all host of measure or issues are put out on the table. And then you look at the 2 or 3 grounds after that. We're removing the leave stage. We're also allowing the judiciary to remit back. So, and I can't talk about any individual cases, but to be remit.
So what I'm talking about is about 10 projects which are in the public interest. They're funded by the state. They're done, and I'm talking about the North-South Interconnector for electricity. I'm talking about the Water Shannon project, and I'm talking about this greater drainage project for Dublin. Surely they should be put in a different category where it's national priority to do this. Like, it's not like a developer making a profit out of it. And like, they've been held up for several years.
Yeah. So importantly, and the changes that are made. So I said in relation to the leave stage, you're also now not going to be able to amend the grounds on which you're taking a case. That causes significant delays within the judicial review process. We're also going to allow them to remit it back to An Bord Pleanála. So if there's an issue that has been missed, an error can be corrected and we don't have to go back to the start of the planning process. And we're also looking at introducing capping costs in terms of
judicial
review. Yeah,
I wanted to ask you about that because I've spoken to,
which is significant.
And I have very high regard for Paul Hogan, who's Assistant Secretary, and Clara Mulhern. And one of the things that they came up with was a cap of 35 grand on legal fees, which would really soften the cough of all these lawyers who are making millions out of this. And, you know, all of this, like, you know, with the greatest respect to Judge Humphreys, O'Donnell and all these, they were never town planners. Like, you know what I mean? We hire people in An Bord Pleanála to do this. So what about this issue?
So this will crystallise very shortly. Our department,
35 grand cap.
Our department carried out an analysis with the OPR, a legal firm. We looked at 40 cases, or they looked at 40 cases. They looked at the UK, England, where £35,000 is there as a cap on costs. And it showed that in those 40 cases, we could see a reduction of about 70% in terms of costs associated with JR. We also have the Planning and Environmental Court, which is a division which is dealing with these cases in a quicker fashion now. So all of these measures coupled together, again, is to reduce the time. You can't eliminate judicial reviews, but what you can do is you can narrow the grounds on which they can be taken, you can cap costs, and you can also ensure that they are dealt with within a speedier manner.
Like, you take right beside Croke Park, the Clonliffe site, there was a proposal to build 1,500 units there. And there was 120 grounds of objection. And on one ground, the religious historical heritage of the seminary, the judge and the court, and went all the way to the Supreme Court, found against the development. I mean, here's an area that the monk nearly got elected. Here was someone investing 608 million in the inner city to provide accommodation essential for workers. Like, where's common sense?
So, again, not on that case, but if you had 100 grounds being put in on a judicial review, what we are saying at the start of the process, you have to nail your colours to the mast. It can't be a fishing exercise where there is only ultimately one ground is looked at. So the leave stage being removed, nailing your colours to the mast on the exact grounds that you're looking to take the case on at the start of the process, not being able to amend that during the process, capping costs in terms of judicial reviews and the ability to be able to remit back to a previous stage. All of these are positive changes. They're in the Planning and Development Act that was passed last year, and we are implementing all of that act over the course of this year.
Now, one of the things that you personally announced was to help people who are sofa surfing and under people's feet, that if they had a garden and they put in a log cabin or small modular development 40 square metres or below, they would gain planning exemption. And like, it's not going to solve the housing problem, maybe 5,000 a year, but I know a lot of people it would help. Mm. And it would make maybe outhouses restored into single apartments or whatever. When will that be a reality?
So I've been heartened by the response that I've received since I put that proposal out there a couple of months ago. Like, I've had people contact me from all around the country, like the people with disability that need to live close to their family network for support, older people looking to right size within their communities, younger people looking to live independently of the family home. So it's part of a wider review of exempted development, which my department has undertaken.
So when?
We'll be doing a public consultation now in the coming weeks.
I thought you were the minister. You're now only consulting.
So what I would say is the public consultation will be done over the summer. It will go into the Joint Oireachtas Committee in September, and we will look at ensuring that there are a couple of elements of it introduced.
The reason why I just want to alert you to the urgency, I was speaking to Paddy Phelan, the boss of Ballymore, the other day, and he said, Ivan, if the rezoning went through in 2025,
which it will,
and it'll be operational in 26, we'll then lodge planning applications in 26. With the usual board planola position, we would expect normally judicial reviews now to get planning permission in 28. He said, we will not have bulldozers in the ground till 29. And you know what's happening in 29? It's the next general election. In other words, do you accept, and this one I'm trying to make the point about urgency, that there's a 3-year lag time between keys and this?
So there has been a 3-year lag time. There's not going to be a 3-year lag time because of all of the things that I have just spoken about on the programme to you. Okay, on Commission Planola, dealing with LRDs within an 11 or 12 week time frame, reducing the judicial review time frame if something goes to that, and we don't want cases going to judicial review. But on the exempted development, this is about bringing forward common sense and practical measures. The exempted development regulations haven't been updated in 25 years. This is a measure, all of the exempted development regulations will be in place before the end of the year, and it may be the case that we have to take out measures around slurry storage and the modulars to the rear ahead of all of the others towards the end of September, start of October, but all of them will be done by the end of the year. That's what I have committed to as a minister, and that's what we'll deliver.
The other looming crisis is in relation to, I've explained about sanitary service and water, is electricity. So in 2014, Airgrid published Airgrid 2025, and it set out GridLink, Grid West, and a north-south interconnector. So the 11 years have elapsed. Not one bit of it has been built. In fact, they've dropped all of it except the north-south interconnector, and it won't be there till 2031. So I'm really concerned. We had peak electricity consumption, over 6,000 gigawatts in January. You have your heat pumps, you have your electric cars. Demand is exponential for electricity and growth in population. Already data centres, we've lost 15 billion of AI investment because data centres can't get electricity. So this is really, really, really urgent. Mm. What are you doing in terms of onshore wind, 4,500 megawatts in the government's own plan by 2030, and yet every one of the 31 local authorities, the permissible area is so limited that there's actually been less than 200 megawatts a year coming through. So this is really, really urgent. What are you doing to amend that?
So energy and water, two key elements in order to be able to ensure that development occurs. And we have a review of the National Development Plan, which is underway at the moment, as you know, and will be published in July this month, by the end of the month. We will be investing significantly more monies in Ishgairn, in Airgrid, in the ESB. And importantly, it will be to ring fence for additional housing, because we do understand the constraints that are there in terms of grid capacity. On the onshore and offshore, I'm sure that we can touch on as well. It is important. We have significant targets there as a government in terms of our climate ambitions in order to reach.
I mean, the point is this requires permissible areas to be rezoned in local authorities. You are the Minister for Planning. Are you going to send out a directive to local authorities to implement the government's own plan?
So the National Planning Framework talks about renewable energy capacity allocations, which will be done as part of the RESAS document that I referred to earlier. So the regional assemblies will do a body of work in terms of that, in terms of the allocations, which will be fed in to the local authority development plans, of which they are doing the variation process, and the wind energy guidelines as well. There's been extensive work done within my department and within the Department of Environment, and hopefully that they'll be completed by the end of the year. There's been issues in terms of the technical detail in terms of noise that has held up those wind energy guidelines, my officials say that they should be completed by the end of the year.
Eamon Ryan had plan after plan. We're going to have 9,000 megawatts of offshore wind. So you have L'Oreal in the north, you have Nyssa, you have Array, you have Codling Bay, and you have the Arklow site. Mm. And Bord Pleanála has been put in charge of giving these planning permission. Mm. And they've never dealt with the marine environment, and they're not getting on great with the land environment. So people applied a year ago for these. And last few weeks in May, Bord Pleanála wrote out a nearly 50-page document of looking for further information, which it'll take a year for them to process. I mean, there's no urgency whatsoever.
So, obviously, when a wind energy project enters on Commission Pleanála, you can imagine that there's very significant detail that has to be analysed as part of any planning application. And in terms of wind energy and offshore, very, very significant. We do want to see offshore wind energy developed in Ireland. We have those five projects. They have the ability to be able to deliver 3.8 gigawatts of wind energy. And our target, obviously, is to get to 20 gigawatt by 2040. And that's why we have the DMAPs done on the south coast down by us in Waterford and Wexford, which the MARA agency are dealing with the MACs and the MUL applications with regards to those. And they will ultimately end up in Commission Pleanála as well. So it is a significant body of work for the board, as you'll appreciate. They haven't ever dealt with offshore wind energy, but we want to see those applications go through the system and generate the wind energy, because it's for energy security for Ireland and into the future.
Finally, a huge text response, but just want to ask you about dereliction. Mm. When you go through any provincial town, the places are boarded up over the shop front and so on. Any dynamic new proposals? I know there's a grant of 70 grand and so on. Any new proposals in that area? Because it would really liven up provincial towns.
So this is an area that I'm really passionate about, Ivan. I've done a lot of work on this within Waterford. Waterford City and County Council have led the way in terms of the repair and lease scheme. Over 50% of the national total of repair and lease scheme units have been delivered in Waterford. That shouldn't be the case. That provides essentially an interest-free loan of up to €80,000 per unit to bring it back into productive use. We have that vacant property refurbishment grant that's in place by government. Over 8,000 vacant properties brought back into productive use through that scheme. And we obviously want local authorities to use the carrot of those schemes, but also the stick of the CPO where it is appropriate. And I'm going across the local authority sector. I visited 10 local authorities. I'd visit four more by the end of this month. And it is true to say that some local authorities are performing way better than others when it comes to
vacancy.
We
need a league table on everything. Absolutely.
When it comes to vacancy and dereliction. And it drives people bananas when they see boarded up homes. So there is absolutely a concerted effort within government and the local authority system to ensure that those vacant and derelict units are brought back into productive use for individuals and families across the country.
Okay, you've been very generous with your time. Minister of State John Cummins at the Department of Planning and Local Government, thank you indeed for joining us.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.